Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Our God is holy, holy. Hello, everybody. This is Donald and Tanya. We'll be the hosts for tonight for the show. First of all, let me give out the number. If anybody would like to call in for prayer, the number is 319-527-6027. 319-527-6027. If anyone would like to call in for prayer or anything that they want to speak, they have on their mind, they can simply press one, and we'll be more than happy to receive you and pray for you and commune with you tonight. So once again, like I said, it's me and Tanya. Before we go any further, we do like to thank Randy and his lovely wife for giving us the opportunity to be with you guys tonight and to, you know, commune with you guys on a Saturday night. So I'm just happy to be here with Tanya, my wife.
Amen. Amen. It's a pleasure to be with you all tonight. I will be taking the lead and Donald will follow along tonight. So basically the topic we prayed on before we said this is what we were going to talk about. I saw somebody put this verse on Facebook. You know, it spoke to me. It's in Matthew 5, verse 29 through 30. It says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So we wanted to focus on talking about sin. I'll give you guys, you know, the definition, why God hates sin, and how to overcome it. So sin pretty much is anything that goes against God. Whatever God says, and you just go against it. Whatever rule, if you disobey the rules, because there's rules as Christians, there's rules in the Bible, there's commitments that we need to follow. So once you break those commitments, that means you have sinned. So that's one of the definition. And why God hates sin. And, you know, even with this verse, it was so powerful because it says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. So it shows me here that God hates sin, okay? And one of the reasons, there's a few reasons I'll give you guys tonight. One of the reasons God hates sin is because sin separates us from him. The Bible said, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear, in Isaiah 59, verse 2. And it also said it was sin that caused Adam and Eve to run away from God and hide among the trees of the garden in Genesis 3, verse 8. Sin always brings separation. And the fact that God hates sin means that he hates being separated from us. So his love demands restoration, which in turn demands holiness. Another reason God hates sin, it's because of the deceitfulness, which entices us to focus on worldly pleasure to the exclusion of God's blessings. So instead of focusing, once we focus in on sin, we sin in, there's no way that we are going to focus on God's blessings because we see the world, whatever the world has to offer, those worldly pleasure, it's sin anyways. It's worldly pleasure. It has nothing to do with God. So that also separate us from God's blessing. It says, those who have their sins forgiven can say, you will fill me with joy in your presence with eternal pleasure at your right hand in Psalm 16, verse 11. And another verse, it says, to pursue sin is to turn one back on the gift of God. That's a powerful verse. To pursue sin is to turn one back on the gift of God who has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And that's in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Because God has a great plan for us. And sometimes I think we just don't want to wait. We just want the quick, the microwave things. We're just so quick to just go out there and then just get it ourselves. And then we forget about that we have a dad in heaven that's willing to offer us anything. But in return, what we have to do is we have to turn away from sin. We have to die to self. We have to sacrifice. Okay, and just to follow him, because it requires sacrifice to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason God hates sin is because that it blinds us to the truth. When you live in sin, my brothers and sisters, trust me, we will not be able to hear what God has to say. So basically, we are blind to the truth. Whatever that's in the Bible, we are blind to the truth. In Matthew 15, verse 14, it says, Jesus likened false teachers to blind leaders of the blind. It says, John said that the one who hates his brother does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. And that's in 1 John 2, verse 11. Sin has consequences which the sinner often disregards. So do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Another reason why God hates sin is because it enslaves us and will eventually destroy us. God's plan is for all of us to make it to heaven. But we do know that sin, certain things we do, that we might pay the consequences and even causes us to lose our salvation. So he hates sin again because it enslaves us and will eventually destroy us. Whatever it is, that whatever addiction could be something you're doing right now, something that, you know, it's really hard for you to just take, you know, to get rid of. But just know that it will eventually destroy us if it's against God. In Judges 16:21, it says, just as Samson's sin led to his physical blindness and captivity, our sin will lead us to spiritual blindness and bondage. Don't you know what, when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slave to the one whom you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, in Romans 6, verse 16. So God is the source of life, and he will extend that life eternally to all who believe. And another last thing I wanted to mention, it says God hates sin because it lessens our love for him. The Bible said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I always take this verse for, you know, whenever I'm trying to make a point, especially with worldly pleasures. Because if you do love the world, you cannot love two masters. It's either you pick one. You cannot love the world and love God, especially with the things we are seeing that is going on in the world today. Okay? So we do have to choose. And we know if we do choose to love the world, the love of God is not in us. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does come from the Father, but from the world. That's 1 John 2, verse 16 through 16. And James warned us of the danger of embracing the world. It says in James 4, verse 4, it says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? So anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So no one, just like I said, no one can serve two masters. And we must choose between sin and righteousness. Okay? Amen. So now, I just give you guys the definition of sin. So that means any God's rule that we disobey, it's a sin. Anything that's against what God say, if we do otherwise, that is sin. And I just give you guys a couple of reasons why God hates sin. Now, how to overcome sin? As Christians, trust me, we all have something in our lives that we're trying to overcome each day. So one of the things God, and how to overcome sin, and this is what I'm going to touch upon. One of the things God will speak about is removing sinful thoughts and behavior from our lives because they are destructive to us. So our relationships and the fulfillment of his destiny for us. So this is considered the outworking of our initial salvation experience. That's in Philippians 2, verse 12. So it is the laying down of our lives, dying to self. There was the word that I was looking for, dying to self. This is how we overcome sins, my brothers and sisters. Okay, so meaning you no longer living for you. You living for God. When you surrender, you said yes to God. That means anything that pleases the flesh, you got to die. You got to put those things out. That's the only way that we can please God when we die to ourselves, meaning my will, my wants, certain things, it's just, it needs to die so I can do the will of my daddy, can do the will of my father. And this is how we overcome sin. And by having the Holy Spirit within us, it's one thing that I always say that as Christians, I don't know how can someone, you know, live without the Holy Spirit. Because me not having the Holy Spirit, to me, the Holy Spirit is a guide. Okay, there's certain things, you know, that little guilt feeling when you have, you know, that conscience, that little voice you're hearing when you know you're going to do something that's not according to God. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore it, because what I've realized is the more you ignore that little voice, that conscience, that Holy Spirit inside of you, the more you become blinded, the more you become numb to your sins. And that's one thing I'm always praying for. God, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. I need the Holy Spirit every day. It's a guide. This is what causes me to make certain decisions. I cannot go on without the Holy Spirit. I do not know how come Christians have been, serving God for 10 plus years, and you tell me you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. And this is why there are certain things we are seeing nowadays, because you just have people that's just serving God, but they just, you know, one foot in, one foot out, because there's no Holy Spirit inside of them to tell them, hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is not according to God. So you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that will help you overcome sin. If you feel in a certain way, you are about to make a decision, you gotta have the Holy Spirit in you to guide you. So the Holy Spirit is a guide. That's the number one thing to basically overcoming sin. Okay, so its design is for the Spirit power. God's design is for the Spirit power to flow out through us and other people. So we will discover that we can and will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can and will manifest the Holy Spirit who is living within us. And that's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11. So again, let's get to work by allowing God the opportunity to remove these sins, these pebbles in our lives within us, which can hinder his flow out through us. Okay, and impede the fulfillment of his destiny for our lives. So the removing of these sins is one of the evidence that we are his, we belong to God, and his Spirit indwells in us. So again, one of the main keys to overcome sin is really dying to self. Not my will, God, but your will. I want to do this, God, but guess what? It's not my will, but your will be done. This person pisses me off. I want to cuss that person out, but you know what, God? Let me just hold my tongue. Not my will, but your will. I'll pray for you, sister. I'll pray for you, brother. Not my will, but your will. Ooh. Amen.
Amen. There's a verse where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, which I like. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And that's very key. We all have certain things, like Tanya said. We all have things that none of us are perfect.
Amen.
So we all fall. Mm-hmm. And it says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the Holy Spirit, it's our, like you said earlier, is our guide.
Amen.
And it convicts us. Every single, I know it convicts me. Whether I say something wrong, I do something that I wasn't supposed to do. Either with raising my kids, if I'm not doing something correctly, the Holy Spirit will always convict me. Will always give me a nudge. To say, hey, I shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. And it's up to us. We have our free will. It's up to us to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us and to abide by what it's saying. And the key thing is that I want to press upon is the more that we disregard the conviction of the Holy Spirit to us, the less we hear the voice of God, you know, it starts out very, very sensitive. We're very sensitive. We can hear, you know, God hitting us and you know, giving a tap on our head and saying, hey, this is wrong. But the more we ignore him, the less and less we hear the voice. Just like you said, sin, it separates us from God. So as we go on our journey, you know, we do want to, you know, stop, you know, think and recollect and do it, basically do an inventory, do a self-check in ourselves, and what are we doing wrong? What do we have to tweak to get better, to get closer to God? Because these things, they are stumbling blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to keep going. And just like the children of Israel are such a great example for us to follow. You know, everything has already been laid out. We've seen their mistakes. You know, we've seen the good and we've seen the bad. And keep in mind, they were just trying to get to the promised land, trying to get to where God wanted them to get. But because they kept on stumbling, these things that was in their way, and a lot of it was because of their old nature. And the same thing with us, because there's some of us that was in Christ ever since we were kids, babies. And it doesn't even matter, because I don't care how long we've been in Christ, we still have the sinful nature that's in us. And that is the stumbling block that our flesh is, basically our flesh that is continuing to get in the way with our desires that we have. And we must continue to fight against that. Now, when we was in the world, we did whatever our flesh wanted to do, whatever our flesh desired to do. Now, just because we become a Christian, just because we become saved, those desires, they don't just leave you like that. Like, who you are is who you are. Your weakness is still your weakness. Through the knowledge of God, through the training of God, through being with God, the intimacy that you have with God, you don't do the same things that you used to do. You don't, you know, you begin to, the longer that you with God, you begin to hate the things that you used to do. Not saying that you're not addicted, you don't have the same nature, but you know, you begin to hate the things that you used to do. There's a passage that Paul says, it's in Romans 7, and I think it starts in verse 14, and he's just explaining the thing about sin. And it sounds so simple, but it's not. And let me just read what he's saying. And I'm pretty sure most of you are familiar with it. But he says, so the trouble is not with, this is verse 14, Romans 7, verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. Like, you hear what Paul is saying? He's saying he don't understand himself, just like us today. There's certain things that we do, and you go back and say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why, you know, you there's certain things that you do, certain blow-ups, whatever the case may be, that you just stop, and when you by yourself, you say, why did I do that? Like, come on, Don. Like, you know better than this. So even Paul, he's saying, I don't understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. You know, he hates these things, the things that he's doing, the things that he, the way that he keeps falling. It's not like he loved doing it. He hates it, but he keeps on doing it. Or we hate the things that we do, but we keep on doing it. He said, but if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power. Listen to Paul. He's saying he loved God and he loved God's law with all his heart, but he recognizes there is something else that's living in him. There is another power that's living in him. He said, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Amen. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person that I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God that, he said, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me say that again. Thank God. The answer is, you might be asking, man, I've been doing this thing for 20 years. I've been doing this. I can't break from this. Who's going to help me with this? The answer is in Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the answer, that's what Paul says. He said, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And this is such an interesting and a powerful passage in the Bible. And I don't think it really explains the sin. He's trying his best to break it down and explain the sin. But what I've got from it is there is something in us that is constantly fighting. And you feel it. We all feel it, that we want to do right. We know the right things to do. We know, but we fail and we do the things that is wrong. I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I shouldn't have said this. I know I shouldn't have said that or whatever, but I did it. And it's something in me that is fighting and struggling with the righteous person that I am. But we do have the Holy Spirit to contend against that. And every day we must die. That's why when it says die to self, that's what it's talking about. Your sinful nature, your flesh. We must die to that because that flesh is death. The flesh that we carry it everywhere we go. And it's dying. It wants to do the things that is negative. Mm-hmm. It's like law of gravity. It's just constantly bringing you down. If you allow yourself to just think, most of the time there's negative thoughts that would come in your mind, and you have to contend that with the positive thoughts and the things that is of God, renewing our mind on a daily basis. And just like Paul, I read the verse earlier, Paul says he disciplines his body. Hmm. He disciplines his body like an athlete. Like you think the athlete, you think all the time they tired. A lot of time when an athlete retires, that same body that they kept up, that same fitness that they were in, they let go because they say, okay, I'm not a slave to this anymore. I don't have to, you know, work my body out to play games, and I'm not getting paid to do this anymore. So they just let themselves go and, you know, they're all right. But he says he trains himself like an athlete, disciplines his body. And look at the thought process that he has, and we must have that same thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like war. This is war. It's not light war, it's war. So we must train ourselves. Like, nobody's going to do it for us. Like, God already gave us the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide, you know, to help us, the convictor, you know. But it's up to us. We have the free will. It's up to us to discipline ourselves, discipline our body. Now, Jesus, he dealt with these things just like we're dealing with these things. And he disciplined his body. He disciplined himself, you know, to follow. It's not just that, oh, he was the Son of God and he just, no, he had a flesh. He had the same flesh that we deal with. So the same thoughts that we have, he had those thoughts. The same way that his flesh wanted to do different things, he had to contend with that. It didn't matter if he was God walking in the flesh. He still had to contend with the flesh, you know, and sin is so powerful that this is the thing that God, that Jesus Christ came down to break, break the power of sin in our lives. Because The wages of sin is death. Is death, and there's no two ways about it. You know, now let us not get confused. Now we're living in grace. We're living in grace now, and it's such a beautiful thing. It's such. I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His grace because I fall, and I can go to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. I can repent, you know. But in the old days, the wages of sin, and still wages of sin is death. It's just that Jesus Christ, He paid the penalty. He paid the penalty for us. But in Romans 6, it also says, okay, now that we're living in grace, now that Jesus Christ has paid the penalties, that shall we continue to live in sin? It said, no. No, we shouldn't continue to live in sin. Because this thing is still, it still brings us down slowly on our daily life. You know, it still bugs us. Like, I know me. I know when I do something, I mean, it messes up my day because the Holy Spirit just steadies convict me all day until I correct what I did wrong, until I get it right. And it's like the Holy Spirit, he bugs me. He bugs me and won't let me rest until I get it right, whatever I did wrong, that I turn it around. And it's a good thing. But if I don't correct that sin in my life, it brings me down. It brings me down. It's not, the thing is, it doesn't only hurt God, but the Holy Spirit, the God that's in me, it hurts. It grieves me.
Yeah.
It grieves me knowing that I did something wrong, knowing that I went against my God that I love so much.
And I wanted to add, when you said about the Holy Spirit, that it grieves, one thing that, you know, that it's so beautiful to have the Holy Spirit, but do you know if the Holy Spirit can actually leave?
Yeah.
When you, because the Holy Spirit is not going to stay where it's dark, where it's dirty, where it's disgusting. So if you feel convicted, let's say it's a sin that you keep on repeating. The more you repeat the sin, the Holy Spirit keeps grieving and keeps convicting you. Eventually, that Holy Spirit will not be there. It will depart from you. So what will happen is, you know how they say people become so numb to their sins? You're like, man, that person is just blinded. It's just they become blind. It just becomes so normal. What started as of, you know, just something little, and then you just give into it, you know, whether it's an addiction, whatever it is. So now the Holy Spirit kept on convicting you, but you kept on ignoring the Holy Spirit instead of repenting. So now when the Holy Spirit leave, and that's why I said the Holy Spirit is such a beautiful thing. Because, you know, it's there to really as a guide. Hey, man, what you said today to that sister, you know, you didn't really have to say it like that. It corrects you. Or what you said to your wife, to your husband today, maybe you should have used a different tone. That's the Holy Spirit. Or how you just cut somebody off today in the car and flip them. You know, the Holy Spirit will convict you of those little sins, those things. But like I said, once the Holy Spirit leaves, you know, you grieve the Holy Spirit, you have repeated sins in your life. Oh, I'm telling you, this is when you just leave now. You're leading yourself to destruction because the Holy Spirit is no longer there. You're just blinded by whatever sins that's in your life. And then you just kept on doing it. It becomes normal. Yeah, and then when like things become...
It's like you're living in a scary place.
Exactly.
Now. Because now you can't hear the voice of God. The guidance that was there to guide you. You can't hear it anymore.
Exactly.
So it's like you're walking into with no direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary place to be walking in this world by yourself without hearing the voice of God directing your steps.
Yeah.
So...
And then again, that's why this verse again is so powerful, because God rather you to lose. And I know this is probably just like a metaphor, a parable, whatever you want to call it. But that's why it says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, take it out, gouge it out and throw it away. If it's a friend in your life that's stopping you from getting closer to God, let go of that friend. If it's something, an addiction, whatever it is, fornication, that's stopping you from getting closer to God, repent, whatever it is. And God says, I'd rather you to lose one part of your body than for you to go to hell. That's how much to show you how God is serious about sin. So again, whatever it is in your life that's stopping you to get closer to God, that's stopping you to for you to surrender. If it's a friend that's stopping you, that's leading you the wrong way, let that friend loose. If it's a family member, I don't care. If it's your own sister, your own brother, love them from a distance. I've done that before. I love you, my brother. I love you, but I'm sorry. What you're mingling with has nothing to do with me, but I love you from a distance because I'd rather serve my God than to partake in whatever you're doing, okay, because I know how my God hates sin. So whatever it is that's blocking you tonight, if it's a sin, if it's something that's getting you, and we know another thing I wanted to mention is sometimes sins block your blessing. And I said that all the time.
All the time.
God will not bless your mess. So if you in a mess, if your life is not right, if you are living in sin, repeated sin, and you never repent, guess what? God will not, your blessings will be blocked. Sometimes you the one that's hindering your own blessings. And I'm sorry, I have to be really direct. Sometimes we keep saying the devil is doing this to me, or the devil is, no. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the devil. You got to evaluate and examine your own life and say, what am I doing? What is it, God? Is it how I'm living my life? You got to do a little self-reflection now and say, what is it? Could it be me? I've done that before. Once I realize it's not me, I'm like, all right, God, I'll wait. Maybe you want me to wait for my blessings. But I do this self-reflection, examining. And the Bible wants us to examine ourselves. I'll examine myself. What is it that's stopping me from going to the next level? Is it me, God? If it's me, please show it to me. Because sometimes it's so easy to point fingers. Oh, well, the devil. Oh, well, but my sister. Oh, well, this person. Yeah, but what about you? Are you the one hindering yourself? Are you the one stopping yourself from going to the next level? What is it? Sit down and do a little self-reflection and see what can you root out. What kind of sins, repeated sins that you have been committing, maybe that's stopping you from getting blessed? Because again, God does not bless mess. And I'll tell you now, I don't care how many prophecies you got that says, hey, you're about to receive this. Because, you know, this is, you know, that's why I said prophecy is good. But I don't want to just live on prophecies only. Because, you know, people just, that's what they want. I just need prophecy. Hey, what's next? What's next for me, God? What's next? But maybe you are the one that's stopping yourself from going to the next level. Yeah, maybe whatever Randy said or whatever other prophet says that they see that's going to happen for you in your life. Maybe you might be the one hindering yourself. You might be stopping yourself from going to the next level. So let's just keep examining ourselves and see what's stopping us. Because God hates sin. He hates sin. And sin blocks our blessings.
Yeah, and I think that verse you was reading where it says to gouge out your eye and to cut. And it's just like, basically like, you know, any temptation, strong temptations that we have in our lives, we each know ourselves and we know our weakness. We know what gets us in trouble. And those things that you know that, yes, you might like, but you know that it gets you in trouble, you got to cut it off. You got to stay far away from it. Like, I might be able to be exposed to something that you cannot be exposed to. You know, it could be anything. It could be something small for me, but big for you. But you have to know yourself. We each have to know ourselves. And what can I not get close to? What must I stay away from? What must I run away from? You know, because there used to be a time where I felt like that, okay, the fact that I'm with God, I have the Holy Spirit, I should be strong enough to stand in front of my temptation and, you know, until I found out, no, that was ignorant. You know, no, I'm supposed to flee. It says, the Bible says, flee away from your temptations. Run away. Just like Joseph, he ran away.
Wasn't him that run away like half naked?
Yeah, well, she took his cloak. Yeah. Not naked, but she took his cloth. But, you know, just like him, he ran away. He didn't play around. He ran away. And we must do the same thing. we don't sit there and try to fight and contend with, you know, with the temptations. You know your temptation. You know the things that will get you in trouble. Then you should be mature enough to run away. And a perfect example of how, like, the Holy Spirit convict, like, it's like a picture of how it happens in our lives. And this happened to David when David slept with Bathsheba and killed her husband. Now, this is how he was convicted. He was convicted from, you know, I forgot the prophet name, but the prophet came and gave him the parable and said, hey, what would you say if such a person did this and such a person did that? And, you know, he just gave him a parable, a scenario, and he presented it to David. And David said, oh, if this thing happened, then this person needs to die. This person needs to. And then the prophet said, well, that person is you. So that was like that's the picture of the Holy Spirit convicting. And what was David's response after he realized, man, what he did was detestable in God's eyes, that it was like, you know, probably at the moment he didn't think about it. Probably at the moment he was just going along with his lust, his desire, you know, whatever he felt at the moment. But once the Holy Spirit, and that's the thing, that's the test that God will bring to us. Like, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with you doing something wrong, but we all fall. But the thing is, okay, you did the wrong. Now God's going to convict you. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you. And what is going to be your response? And the thing is, and that's why, like, David did so many things. But God said, man, this is a man after my heart. And we try to understand, how can this man be after your heart when he did this, he did that? Because every time he got convicted, every time God convicted him, he repented. And not just saying it with his mouth, he sincerely repented for what he did wrong. David is a perfect picture of us walking our daily lives. Yeah, we love God. Yeah, we're Christians. Yeah, we're saved. But do we get it wrong sometimes? Yes, we do. Because of all, and God knows this. Jesus knows this because he walked in the same flesh that we walk in. But what is your response once you get convicted? Do you shrug your shoulders and you just keep going? Do you just say, hey, God, whatever, just forgive me? But you know that you're going to do it again. You know, what is your response? But David responds in such a beautiful way where he repented. He repented and asked God for forgiveness. And, you know, before we open up the calls and start taking calls, I just want to read after, you know, many believe that this is the chapter that David wrote after, you know, he got convicted, you know, of sleeping with Bathsheba. So I just want to read it. And this is for any of us that is dealing with anything in our lives that we know that it is wrong. We know that this is hindering us. We know that this can be blocking us and could be stopping us. We've been convicted of it, but we haven't responded correctly. I think God is just asking his children to respond correctly, to respond, to adhere to the conviction that he is giving, because he knows the consequences. He knows what will happen when we don't respond correctly. And God loves us so much that he is convicting us. Mm-hmm. He's convicting us. He's sending the message. The Holy Spirit convicts us every day because he wants us to respond correctly. But it's for you. It's for him as well, because we are his children, but it's for you to get it right, because he knows the consequences that happens if we don't get it right, if we don't repent, if we don't change. So let me just read this chapter. This is David asking for forgiveness. Once he got convicted and realized that, man, he did wrong. He said, have mercy on, this is Psalm 51, sorry. He said, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my love again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stains of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a loyal spirit with, oh, that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Renew that loyal spirit.
Mm.
So we're asking God tonight to renew that loyal spirit. That loyal mm-hmm. spirit when we yes, first Lord. Met God, how obedient, how we were just trying so hard. We were so sensitive to everything God was telling us so we can get it right. He says, renew a loyal spirit within me. He said, do not banish me from your presence. Well, that's another mm-hmm. thing. Don't banish me, Lord, from your presence. I love the presence of God. I love to be in the midst of God. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you.
Mm. Mm. Remind me willing. Of that song. Mm. Create in me yeah. a mm. pure heart mm. and purify me. Purify me, create in me a clean heart so I can mm-hmm. worship thee.
Yeah.
Cast me not away from thy presence. Please don't take your spirit from me and restore the joy of salvation so that I may worship thee.
Yeah. Amen. Ooh, yeah, amen. And I forgot the artist name. That's where he got that song from. He basically repeated. I think that was on Donnie McClurton. If I'm
I think maybe, so. I don't yeah. know.
But ooh, anyway, and just that what you just said. That's the verse 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves." Then I will joyfully sing to your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Mm-hmm. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would have offered one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. O God, look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. There's like shepherds and sheep, and God often compares us to sheep. And usually the sheep, they don't know where they're going. That's what they need. They need a shepherd. They eat with their head down. They just eat. They don't. They could fall off a cliff. Like they don't. They're not watching where they're going at all. And there's some that wander off. You know. Now usually what the shepherd would do, he'll go looking for the sheep that wandered off, because these animals, they cannot defend themselves. And in the wild, they don't have any self-defense mechanism in them at all. Like there's one animal that they have no technique at all. So if they want to off any animal that wants to attack them, they're done. They can't run. They can't bite. They don't fight. So once they wander off the shepherd, he goes off. He leaves the other ones that's already in the place. He runs after and he go finds the one that wandered off. Now he wander off again. He goes ahead and finds him again. Then eventually he goes after the one that keeps wandering off. And what he does, he breaks his leg. And that way he cannot wander off anymore. But what he does after that, he breaks his leg. Now he starts to heal the leg back. After he breaks the leg, in the healing process of that leg, that shepherd, he's nurturing that sheep. He's nurturing the sheep during the process of being healed. And what that does to that sheep, once the sheep is healed, but he's seeing how the shepherd nursed him back and healed him. And what that does to that sheep, it makes him loyal to the shepherd now. Yeah. It makes him don't want to wander off anymore. Mm. It teaches him to stay put.
Powerful.
And there's many times in our lives we're feeling broken. We're feeling broke down and we're questioning why things are not working out. Why have this is keep being broken in my life? And there's certain things that we're not dealing with. And God is breaking our leg and trying to make us see. He's trying to nurture us, so we can get to the place where we can get to that place where we see, like, man, what is God doing? Hmm. Why does it, like, there's even Job, he said, it was good. It was good that these things came to me, that I dealt with this thing, because when we are broken, we see God's nature. We see him, the things that he want to do and what he's trying to show us.
Hmm.
So, but if we don't, we will remain broken. We remain, continue to get broken. Our legs will continue to get snapped, continue to get hurt, you know? Mm. So God is trying to prevent these things. He don't want us to wander off and get snatched and get messed up by the devil. Because it says the devil is like a lion that's looking at us like a prey. They like a prey and just waiting for one of us to wander off, one of us to go in sin, one of us to sneak away, where they can go ahead and grab us and devour us, you know? So God is trying to prevent all these things in our lives. And I believe with us talking about this tonight, that God is speaking to someone, speaking to all of us,
amen.
You know, that, hey, let's get these things right. These things that, yes, it's hard, but let's discipline ourselves like Paul. Let's discipline ourselves. Like, we've been walking with God long enough. We should be mature enough to discipline ourselves, to train our body, to make our body do what our mind and our spirit want it to do, and follow God's direction. He laid everything out for us. He laid the path for us, and it's up to us to follow him. But God said, if you love me, it's not just in word and say, yeah, I love God, I follow God, I'm saved. And no, he said, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. That's how he defines love. It's not by what you're saying. It's, are you following what God is saying? Are you trying to be holy every day? Are you coming against your flesh? It's either God or your flesh. Which God are you serving? Are you serving? Are you a slave to your flesh? Are you a slave to your sinful nature? Are you a slave to God?
Hmm.
And I gave my life to God. So I cannot be a slave to my sinful nature. I must crucify it. You know, just like how Christ crucified his own flesh because of my sin. He didn't even sin.
Hmm.
But he took my place. Hmm. He took my place.
Thank you,
because
Lord.
Because of our sin, my sin that I do. Because sin is punishable by death, but it wasn't me that died. Christ took my place. He died. He died for us. And, you know, so this is what God just put on our heart to speak about. So, but we got to get to the lines. And once again, the number is 319-527-6027. If you have any prayer requests, you can just press 1 and we'll be more than happy to pray for you. If you have anything you want to talk about, whatever it is, just press 1 and then we'll be more than happy to get you on the line. And then you can say what's on your heart. All right. We'll start with the first caller. We have 954-580. Who are we speaking with tonight and where are you calling from? Okay. Once again, that's 954-580. Who are we speaking with tonight? All right. We'll move on. to the next caller. One second. Okay, we have 903-918. Who are we speaking with tonight?
Michelle from Texas.
How you doing, Michelle?
Hi, Michelle from Texas.
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We're doing great. We're doing great. All right. Anything on your mind tonight? Anything you wanna talk about or any prayer requests?
I just want prayer for me and my family.
Okay. All right, one second.
Michelle.
Okay. Dear Father God, we pray. We come together and we're praying for Michelle. Dear God, we're praying for her. First and foremost, Lord Jesus, that you bless her. Touch her mind, Father God. Lift her up, Father God, in whatever situation that she might be in. We also praying for her and the family as a collective bunch. We're praying for all of them, everyone that is involved, that you cover them, Father God, that you be with them, Lord Jesus, that you lift them up to their rightful place, that you touch their hearts, Father God. You break whatever yoke is in the way, Father God. Father God, we ask you to release your anointing on them. Release your anointing on each and every one of them, Father God, to bring them closer as a unit, to keep them on one accord, to bring that unity so they can march in one accord, Lord Jesus, the way that you want them to march, the way that you want them to go, that the whole family under that roof, that they're doing the things that you want them to do, but they're doing it in accord. They're doing it in unity. Father God, just feel in my spirit that is the prayer just for unity, just for unity, just for them to march in one accord, Father God, to go in the rightful place. I don't know if it's the desire of Michelle that there's a certain way that she wants them to go, a certain way that she wants she envisioned them to be. But Father God, we're praying for that. We're praying for that, that comes to pass, Father God. You know the desires of her heart. She got on the line to call and pray for her family, not just for herself. She'll pray for her family, Father God. So we touch and agree with her, Father God. Yes. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to hear our prayer, Father God. Hear our prayer and answer the call, Father God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Anything else?
Thank you so much.
Oh, no problems. Anything else on tonight?
No, that's it. I really appreciate it.
All right. We thank you for calling in as well. Amen. All right, we're gonna let me try that 954 number one more time, and then we'll move on. 954-580, are you there? Going once, twice, 954-580.
Hello.
Oh, hello, hello. How you doing,
Carolyn?
How you doing, Carolyn?
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Anything on your mind tonight, Carolyn? Any prayer requests?
Yes. I recently did a medical procedure. I'm just asking for prayer that the healing process will go well, and as well as praying towards a few things. So in regards to finances and my job, that the Lord will just work everything else according to his will. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. So first for healing, and then you said you're going to have a surgery, or you just need healing for...
Well, you already had it.
I already had it.
Okay, so the healing process too. Okay. And then for your job.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Father God, we're praying for Carolyn, Lord Jesus. First of all, we're praying for the health, the healing procedure. Whatever was done, Father God, that you correct everything. I know that the hands of the doctors already touched her body, but Father God, we're praying for you. We're praying for you to do the finishing touch to heal it up. And we're praying for a speedy recovery, Father God, to lessen the pain, lessen the discomfort, Father God. We pray against anything that might be hindering her, Lord Jesus, from the healing process, anything that might slow it down, Father God. We just praying for you, Father God, to blow on her, Father God, and give her that final touch, that final healing, Father God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray. We also praying for the job, Lord Jesus, that the position that she's in the process of trying to get, Father God, the financials, Father God. We're praying, Lord Jesus, that you touch her finances. You touch her finances, Father God. Allow it to grow, Father God. Allow it to grow, Lord. Lord Jesus, whatever situation with the job process, the position, Father God, if it's hers, Father God, if you see that this is hers, then let it be hers. Whatever is blocking, whatever is in the way, whoever is in that position, move them out, Father God. Move it out, Father God, and give it to your daughter, Father God. Give it to her, Lord Jesus, we pray. So we touch and agree. We're coming together, Father God, tonight, Lord Jesus, that you hear her. You hear her. You know her desires, even the things that she didn't ask for prayers, that the request that she didn't bring forth, Father God. You know her daily prayers. You know her secret prayers. You know her closet prayers, Father God. Father God, we ask you to hear your daughter, Father God. Open up the gates. Open up heaven doors, Father God, for her, Father God. Let it, this is her season, Lord Jesus. Let her walk in her purpose. Let her walk in what you have for her, Father God. For the things that she has went through, those are in the past, Father God. So, Father God, we call those things past and we open up new ways for her, that this is the new beginning. This is the new time for her, Father God. And nothing that tries to stand in her way, nothing that tries to come against her, no thought process that tries to discredit her, that try to come against her, that fights against her mind to let her know her rightful position, that we come against those things. We break those chains. We break those yokes, Father God, that she is free. Amen. She is free indeed, Father God. She is healed, Lord Jesus. She is prosperous, Father God. She is blessed, Father God. She is your daughter, Father God. And let her see herself as that, Father God, that when she goes out for a position, that it is hers already, Father God. It is hers, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we thank you as well, Carolyn. You have a great night, okay? And get well.
Okay,
get well.
Thanks. Thanks much. God bless you both.
God bless.
God bless you too.
Amen. All right. We're going to move on down to, we have 517-703. Who are we speaking with tonight, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is James, and I'm from calling from Michigan.
How you doing, James?
Hi, James from Michigan.
I'm doing all right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what's on your mind tonight? Anything?
Well, yeah, but I was just calling for just general prayer.
Okay.
Nothing really all specific, right. No.
All right. No problem. All right, guys, just in case if you guys hear any little noise in the background, it's just my little son, my one-year-old, so I'm just trying to keep him asleep. But, Father God, we're praying for James, dear God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch him, Lord Jesus, to touch him, touch his heart, Father God, to bless him, Lord Jesus, direct his steps, Lord Jesus, in the way that he should go. Allow him to be sensitive to your voice, Father God, as you speak to him, as you direct him, as you guide him, Father God. Allow him to be sensitive and to take that step to jump out into the boat, jump out into the water just like Peter, Father God. When you speak that, he will move, Father God. We know that he has heard your voice, but he has been a little tentative in knowing if this is you, if this is where you want me to go. But Father God, we ask you for confirmation. We ask you to give him confirmation on the things that you already have told him and give him comfort, give him the confidence that it is you, that he'll be okay. He'll be okay with walking out whatever path that you have laid out for him, Father God. Father God, you know the desires, you know his prayers that he make to you. You know his closet prayers, Father God. You know his heart. You know him. You know James, Father God. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to hear his prayers, the silent prayers that he makes at night when nobody's around. Those prayers, Father God, attend to those prayers, Father God. Attend to him, Father God. Make him, create in him the man that you want him to be, Father God.
Help him, Lord Jesus, to grow and to mature into the person that you envision, the person that you created to be. Father God, the fact that he's coming tonight, the fact that he's coming to you, Father God, and seeking you, Father God, we ask you to answer his call. Answer his call tonight. Tonight, Father God, start opening those doors. Unravel the things that needs to be unraveled in his life, Father God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem, James. Anything else?
Well, no. I mean, I might want to share. Can I share something real quick?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Your teaching on sin was really powerful, and I really appreciate that. And but I was wondering, have you ever heard any teachings on the courts of heaven?
Courts of heaven.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah. I heard that term before. I don't think I heard the teaching exactly.
Let me explain what happened with me and why I'm bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
For a very long time, I was really, really kind of struggling, you know, and nobody else knew about it. I was doing my own ministry show and you know, ministering to people prophetically and doing really well. But a lot of people didn't know I was really struggling to concentrate on the word and just a bunch of different other things. And none of it made any sense. I wasn't sinning. There was nothing in my life that was, you know, hindering my walk with the Lord with me. But what happened is that I ran into this teaching on the courts of heaven. And one of the things is in Luke chapter, where it talks about, you know, it talks about three different places. And in Luke 18, it talks about come to God as father, as friend, and then also as judge. And it talks about that in Luke in several different places. And Luke 18 talks about coming to him as judge. And one of the things that was interesting that I discovered was, and they were doing this blood cleansing or bloodline cleansing, you know, your history, your family history back to the second, third, and fourth generations. Well, there was sin, which became iniquity, that the enemy was claiming against my bloodline to keep me back from going forward. And so I went through that prayer process and things started to break. Things started to change. And this is very recent. And so this is part of what I'm doing is, you know, reaching out to different people for prayer, because I'm not, I know I'm not sufficient in myself to do, you know, pray for myself completely. Like, you know, no one is. You know, we all need other people to pray for us. So that's the process that I'm going through. But it was just interesting that, you know, talking about sin and these things. But there's also the sins of our fathers, and a lot of times if we, and you were talking about how people have like this. This propensity to fall towards a certain sin or a certain temptation, a lot of times that's from previous generations.
You're right.
Generations, and that can be taken to the courts of heaven. You go basically just go to him, God as judge, and ask him to cancel that case to the enemy, because where it says in Revelations where they overcame where it talks about the devil being the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses them day and night. The translation back into the Greek is actually a legal term. It's a legal case that he's bringing against us. It's not like he's accusing you to your face saying you're a bad person. He's accusing you to God as judge and saying, well, this is the reason why that they shouldn't be able to fulfill their destiny and these different things.
Hold up, Jane. You know what? I think I don't know if the person that was doing the teaching. I don't know if it was it a lady and a man, like a married couple or something.
No, it was his name was Robert Henderson.
Okay, God. Now, because it's like now it's coming back to me. I think I seen something on that. I think I had watched something regarding the courts of heaven. Mm-hmm. Is exactly like how you saying it? And I think it was a lady that was speaking at the time. But she was speaking about just that, about going to the courts of heaven and going to God as mm-hmm. judge, and you bringing your
right.
case to the table. And yeah,
right.
I remember yeah. that, and I like how she was breaking it down, and it made so much sense, because there's so much things that we're dealing with and that we have in our lives. And just like
right.
you said, it's because of our family bloodline and things like that. And once we
right.
that thing out, then we're able to bring the case to God and, you know, ask him to judge on, judge the case.
Our behalf.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And this is the thing. This is one of the things, is there are certain things that speak in heaven. Like in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about how the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel spoke against Cain and said, you know, condemn him. But the blood of Jesus speaks on our behalf, you know, for us. And then the things that Jesus did on the cross for us, we can bring those things into record before God as judge to answer the case that the devil has against us. Because guarantee you, if there's anything that's holding anybody back from things they know that was for them, because that was going on in my life. I'd go so far, you know, in the work of the ministry, and it would just fall apart. And I'd do it again, and it seemed like something's going to come through, and then it would fall apart. And that had a lot to do with that. So that's all. That's all.
No, I thank you, man, for adding, man, and adding to that. And, you know, that you reminded me of, because I did hear about the courts of heaven, and you reminded me about it. And I'm pretty sure other people that's listening in, it was great for them to hear that as well. So I thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
No problem.
All right, James. You have a great night, man.
You too. God bless you.
God bless.
All right. Amen.
That was powerful.
Yeah, that was. That was. I appreciate that. All right, we'll move on to the next caller. We have 478-233. Who are you speaking with tonight, and where are you calling from?
My name is Janice, and I'm calling from Georgia.
How you doing, Janice?
Okay, how y'all doing?
Oh, we doing great. We feeling good. I'm just happy to be here with you tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, anything on your mind tonight? What? I mean, the floor is yours.
I just want prayer, please.
Okay. Anything specific, or you want general prayer?
A general prayer, I do.
Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we come in tonight, and we're praying for Janice, Father God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch her, Lord Jesus. Touch her spirit, Father God. Touch her mind, Lord Jesus. We ask you to cover her and cover her family, Father God. Cover them, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch her spirit. It says something about her spirit, Father God, a joyful spirit. We ask you to continue to keep that spirit going, keep that happiness going, keep that joy in her life going. And wherever she might be lacking joy, Father God, we ask you to replenish it, Father God, to feed her, continue to feed her positive energy, to allow her to feed on your word, Father God, the words that you have, so she can know who she is, so she can remember. She already know who she is in you, Lord Jesus, but allow her to continue to feed on the word of God, Lord Jesus, so she can regurgitate, you know, who she is as she walk on a daily basis, as she goes out into the, as she knows that she is the daughter of God. She is the daughter of the Most High. Father God, that she walks with her head up high, that she has that joy. She doesn't let anybody take away that joy, that peace that she has, Father God. But she just have such a joy, such a peace, Father God, such an innocence, Lord Jesus. And we, Father God, I ask you to cover that, Lord Jesus, to cover her joy, cover her her spirit, Father God, just her spirit, to protect, Lord Jesus, to keep her protected, Father God, from whatever maybe trying to come against her, whatever may be trying to attack her spirit, attack her mind, to bring her down, bring her spirit down, Father God. I don't know what it is, Father God, but Father God, actually, I come against those things. We come against those things that's trying to attack her spirit, that's trying to remove her joy, that's trying to take away her peace. That's what I feel, is there's something that's trying to take away your peace, something trying to take away your joy. You know, so I'm coming against those things. We're coming against those things right now as we speak, Lord Jesus. As we speak, Lord Jesus, you want to make me feel this for no reason, Father God. So we come against those things that come against her, Father God, that's coming against her joy, coming against her peace, and allow her spirit to be at rest. Allow her spirit to be at rest, Father God, at rest. Father God, we pray in Lord Jesus. We pray in Lord Jesus. Touch her, Lord Jesus. Be with your daughter, Father God. Lift your daughter up, Father God. Cover her, Father God. Protect her, Father God. Show her, manifest. Manifest, Lord Jesus, your glory to her, Father God. And just always remind her that she is your daughter. She is your daughter. You are the daughter of the Most High. You are the daughter of the Most High. You were chosen by God. You were chosen by God. People might not understand. People might not understand you. They might not understand why God chose you. They might not understand. They might just see you as somebody normal, as somebody not that great or whatever. But God chose you. God chose you. There's a lot of people that God didn't choose. A lot of people think that God chose everyone. But there's a verse where he said, you know, he didn't choose Esau. He didn't love Esau. You know, so God chooses who he wants to choose. He selects who he wants to select. And Janice, he selected you. He chose you for a reason. He chose you as a peculiar person to show forth his glory. You know, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if other people give you the recognition or give you the credit. It doesn't matter if people lift you up and put you on the pedestal. God already did that. God already put you on the pedestal. God already, everybody that was once, God said, I'm choosing her. God chose you. So I don't care who, I don't care what is the circumstances that is trying to come against and trying to break down your spirit and make you feel like, whatever God said is not, you know, we come against that because we know that whatever God say, that is fact. That is law. That is the truth. And what the devil will do will come against the word that God has already spoken in your life. Things that you know that God wants to do with you. Your conversation with God, your intimacy with God, where somebody else, I might not know it. I might look at you like, you know, you're nobody. Like, you're nothing, but I don't know. I don't know what God has put in you. I don't know why God selected you. God didn't tell me why he selected you. He didn't tell anybody why he said, that's his business. So you just walk into, you know, whoever God called you, you know, it's like you feel it. You might not have the description of what God called you to be or who God, but you know that God chose you for something special. You know that God chose you out of a bunch. So keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind that I don't care what it is, just keep saying, man, God chose me. With your flaws, with your good, your bad, like God chose you. So I don't care who don't choose you, God chose you. So I don't care who comes against your spirit, God chose you. And that's what you must say, that, hey, God chose me. You gotta pat yourself on the back. It's not because of what you've done, but whatever reason it is. And sometimes we don't know the reason why God chooses us. Because God don't tell us why. But it's never because something that we did. But at the same time, don't go around beating yourself down. Because this other person might look like they're doing better or they're living greater. But the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, he chose you for a reason. He chose you for something. When he created you, he made something in you. I don't know. You don't know. It's just a learning process as we go, as we grow in God. But he chose you for a reason. And, you know, I just feel like there's something that whatever it is, that's trying to take away your joy, trying to break down your spirit.
Well,
we come against that thing tonight. We come against it tonight, and just push whatever God has spoken in your life, and that will come to pass. It has to come to pass, and you will show the people that is around you. They'll know that something is special about Janice. We don't know what, because we know what we saw and we know what we expected, but there's something special that God is doing with Janice. And once they see that, it'll bring the attention back to God, because they say, we know that's God, because Janice can't do that. Janice is just, you know, so we just praying for that, man. I'm just praying for that. God is just tugging on my spirit real hard on that. So,
okay.
You know, and we just praying for that, and that it comes forth, man, and that you just walk in knowing that, hey, God chose you, God picked you, and you are qualified. You are qualified because he said you qualified, not because you said you qualified. He said it. So that's God's business, you know, and just walk in that. Walk with that confidence, not confidence in yourself, but confidence that, hey, he chose you for something. So, you know, if he felt like, hey, Janice is the one, hey, who am I to argue? You know, so walk in that in that confidence. Just know that. Hey, you know, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Mm.
Thank you.
And anything else, Janice?
No, that's it. And I appreciate you guys.
No problem. We appreciate you too.
Amen.
Okay.
Sir.
Say it again.
What's y'all name?
My name is Donald, and my wife's name is Tanya.
Okay, I can write that down now, because I don't think I ever been on with y'all too, but the rest of them I have, and I just want to learn your names. Now I know when to be on. I mean,
all right. Yeah, we're trying to be on more and more, you know. But you know, when we can, we try to be on. But I'm really trying to be on a little more, whenever I can, more on Saturdays. And so, you know, we'll try to be around, and if God permit that, we'll be here a lot more efficient, more on a regular basis.
Oh, okay.
Amen. But we appreciate.
Okay, well, I thank you all for my prayer.
No problem.
Amen.
You're welcome.
And y'all have a good night.
You too.
All right, you too, Janice.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Amen. All right. All right, we got to move on to 205-531. Who are we speaking with tonight?
Julie May from Alabama.
How you doing, Julie May?
Hi, Julie May.
Yes. Amen. All right. Anything on your mind tonight? Any prayer requests?
Continue prayer for my daughter. I thank God he just brought her a mighty long way. She had COVID and pneumonia, and she got off the she had a trach and feeding tube. So now she has a congenital heart failure. But I know God is still taking care of her, and praying for some of the other patient is on the cardiac ward. A lot of folks will come in and out with heart problems.
Okay. All right. Well, Father God, we already know that nothing is impossible with you, Father God. Here we are tonight. We're praying for Julia May, your daughter. We're praying for her daughter, Father God, for a full recovery from this COVID, from this coronavirus. Whatever it is, Father God, we're coming against it right now, tonight. Tonight, we touching and agree. And we ask everybody that's on the line tonight, that's hearing our voice, that's with us tonight on PGN, that we all are touching and agreeing, and we're praying, and we're believing for a healing, a quick and speedy healing for Anna Mae, for Julia Mae's daughter, Father God. Right now, Lord Jesus, right now, Father God, as we are here, in one accord, as we are here tonight, Father God, we're praying for that healing to touch her right now, Lord Jesus, wherever she's at, Father God. We come against whatever virus, whatever coronavirus, COVID, whatever it might be, anything that's trying to come against the heart, Father God, we're praying for a complete healing and we're waiting for a testimony, Father God, of your glory, of your works that you have done. Father God, we come tonight, Father God, we're praying for her. You hear her call. You already started the work. You started the process. And now we're praying for the finishing touch. We're praying for the finishing touch that is it, Father God, that she walks out the hospital in on her own accord, Father God, that she will give her testimony of what you have done in her life. We're also praying for all the folks that's in the hospital with her that are dealing with the heart failure, the heart problems by dealing with this particular coronavirus. Father God, we don't know what this thing is, Father God. We don't know where this thing came from, Father God. All we know that is here, and it's been going against a lot of families, Father God. It's been tearing into different families, Father God. Father God, we come against this right now. We come against
Thank
this
you.
Right now, Father
Thank
God.
Jesus.
We speak into whatever disease, whatever virus that might be coming, whatever it is, we come against you right now in Jesus' name, right now in Jesus' name. And we command you in Jesus' name to leave her body, not just her body, but all the folks that's in that area, all the folks that are dealing with those symptoms, leave her body, leave their body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what I mean? We just praying. We'll continue to pray. And I'm just expecting a testimony. You know, that's once we do the prayer, and next step we're just expecting a testimony of the glory of God, of what God is going to do. He already paid for it on the cross.
Yes.
And what come against us, we're not scared. We coming against that. And we're just waiting for the testimony. That's all we are waiting for.
Amen. And I wanted to add, you know, there's power in the blood. So when you pray, just say the blood of Jesus all over her, because there's power. There's nothing that the blood can do. So this is what God put in my mind to tell you. So whenever you're praying, or if you're able to see her, just say the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over her, the blood of that same blood that, you know, that God shed for us. That can do anything, so it can heal. It can heal her body and continue the work that it started in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I will.
Amen. All right.
Thank you, God.
No problem. We can't wait to hear back
testimony.
And hear the testimony.
Okay, then. Thank you.
All right, Julie, man.
Bye.
Amen. All right, we have one more caller. If anybody else wants to get on the line, want prayer, the number is 319-527-6027. And if you want prayer, just press 1. Just press 1, and we'll be more than happy to select you and, hear what's on your mind. We're going to go on to the next caller, the 908-305. Who we're speaking with tonight?
Yes, hi. Good evening. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. How you doing?
Hi. Pretty good, thank you. Pretty good. I just would like some prayer for a job, a financial, health, and then also just for forgiveness in relationships, and also to just... you know, be involved in the things of the Lord, especially some ministry work, outreach work, or worshiping, or worship. I'm a worshiper, so I just pray that God will open those doors.
Okay. All right. And who are you speaking with?
My name's Carol.
Carol? Okay.
Carol. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Father God, we come in tonight to pray for Carol. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch her, Lord Jesus. Touch her body first and foremost physically, Father God. Bring her to health, Father God, whatever she is dealing with, whatever is ailing her, Lord Jesus. Father God, we ask you to touch her, Lord Jesus, and bring her back to life, to heal her body, Father God, to make it anew, Father God, again, Lord Jesus, to make her body fresh, Father God, Lord Jesus, where nothing hinders her, no pain, no lingering pain at all, Father God, that bothers her, Father God. We're just praying for a full health over her. We're praying for financials. We're praying for a blessing, Lord Jesus, over her, Father God, for job opportunities, Lord Jesus, to open up, Father God, for doors to be opened up for her, Father God, where things have been blocked off, Lord Jesus. We come against those things, Lord Jesus, that your daughter will walk into the doors that's open, the opportunities that's presented to her, Father God, but not just any job, Father God, the job that you have selected with the financial package, Lord Jesus, for her, with the financial blessings, Lord Jesus, that she needs, Father God. We pray, Lord Jesus, we cover, Lord Jesus, cover her, Father God, direct her steps, Father God, bless her, Lord Jesus, in, you know, in everything, every aspirations that she has, Lord Jesus, for herself, for her ministry work, Lord Jesus. Father God, we ask you to, this is someone that wants to serve, that wants to do ministry, Lord Jesus, for the kingdom, Father God. So we ask you, Lord Jesus, to direct her, not only just in the natural job, Lord Jesus, but also the ministry, the spiritual work that she would like to do for you, Father God. We ask you to open that up for her, Lord Jesus. Open that up for your daughter so she sees her place, she sees her purpose, and where she could be, where she could be more fruitful, Father God. Father God, we ask you to give her the desire and give her the wisdom as far as what she needs to do to help the kingdom of God. Where is her best, where she best fits, Lord Jesus, in the ministry work, in the kingdom of God, Father God. So open up the doors for all these aspects in her life, Lord Jesus, like the healing, the financial blessing, the ministry work, Father God. Touch her, Lord Jesus. Open up whatever is closing, whatever is in the way, Father God. We first of all, we ask you to give her wisdom, first and foremost, Lord Jesus, to know what she's up against, to see what is she dealing with. And Father God, to also give her the wisdom to how to bring these things down, to how to come against her Goliath that she has in her life, Father God. The same way that you gave David the wisdom, Father God, we ask you to give Carolyn the wisdom as well, Father God, to show her, Father God, direct her, Lord Jesus, in the way that she should go. Right now, she's asking for direction in all these multiple facets of her life, Father God, and we ask you to open up those doors. Give her the healing so she can go ahead and do the work that she needs to do, Father God. And give her the financial blessings, Lord Jesus, so she could be comforted, Lord Jesus, without worrying about this and worrying about that, Father God. And Father God, also the ministry work for her to fulfill the purpose that you created her for, the thing that you created her for, not just the ministry, not just any type of work, any kind of ministry work, but what did you create Carolyn for? What did you... when you decided to make her, what is her purpose, Father God, in your kingdom? What is her role in your kingdom? So here she is, Father God, asking the coach, what do you want me to do, Father? What do you want me to do for your kingdom? What did you create me for? What is my purpose, Lord? And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to reveal that to her, Father God, and to touch her, Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Help her with that, Lord Jesus, as well. Open up her heart, Father God. And that is the key thing in these process. The key thing in the process that she wants, the healing, the financial blessing, the ministry work, but the healing, the forgiveness has to be dealt with. The forgiveness has to be dealt with before these things can open up. And I believe once the forgiveness is there, once you're able to open up your heart to forgive whatever the situation is, whatever has hurt you, anything that has hurt you in the past, but once God touches your heart and allows you to do the forgiveness, go through the forgiveness process, these other things will open up. These other things will open up. So we're praying for that mainly, for the forgiveness process to touch her, Lord Jesus, in that. Touch that. Allow her to give the forgiveness, to show the forgiveness, to have the forgiveness that she needs, Lord Jesus, for whatever situation that it was. But I believe after that situation is dealt with, after that forgiveness process is gone through, those other things will begin to open up. So we pray in that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Really appreciate it very much. God bless you.
No problem, Carolyn. God bless you as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Amen. All right. We have we have another caller, 347-580. Who are we speaking with tonight? All right, 347-580. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Asking prayers for... Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I'm asking prayers for... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, I'm asking prayers from one to...
Yes,
I'm requesting prayers. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Yeah, but you said hello many times. Yeah, I'm requesting prayers for them to take me where he promised me, and so as what he promised me to live with my children and my grandchildren.
Amen. Amen. Oh, it's Pop.
Oh, you know that's me?
yeah, the boy. Hey, how you doing, Pop?
I'm doing well. I'm just saying that I hear you mention you pray a request, and then I have a prayer request before going for quite a while. And he gave me the request. It's not even my request. He gave it to me. But it has come up yet.
Yeah.
And time is passing. And then these are things that I need so as before I go to live with my kids and my grandkids.
Okay. All right. So we're praying for the promises that you have for your kids and your grandkids that you want to come to pass. Am I correct in that? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. So no problem. We'll touch and agree with you on that. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come in tonight, Lord Jesus, and we're praying, Lord Jesus, for you to hear my Father, Father God, that's online, that's praying for the desires of the heart, the desires that you have placed in his heart, Father God, of the things that he wants to accomplish in his kids and his grandkids' life, his posterity, his inheritance, his children, Father God. You know the things, the dreams that you have placed in him, Father God, the desires that you have placed in him. And just like he said, these things that have been spoken between you and him, but he is still waiting for those things to come to pass, Father God. But Father God, we know if you spoke those things that they will come to pass, Father God. We come against anything that might be hindering these things. We come against, even if it's us, Lord Jesus, that's hindering the process. Show us, give us the wisdom, Father God. But Father God, we ask you to answer the call of Wilfred, Lord Jesus, to bless him, Lord Jesus, Father God. Like he said, this is the desire that you gave him, Father God. This is the promise that you gave him, Father God. So we come and we touch and agree, Father God, that this thing shall come to pass, that we know that you are a God that do not lie. So I don't care if it's been 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, that it will happen, Father God, even though we might lose a little hope, lose a little faith, Father God. But we know with you, if you said it, then it's settled, Lord Jesus. Then it's settled, Father God. It will happen, Father God. It will come to pass, Father God. And we believe that, Lord Jesus. We believe it, Lord Jesus. That's why we pray to you, Lord Jesus. If you gave it, if you said it, then that settles it, Father God. And we don't care. Sometimes the time might feel like the time might be pressing up on us, and we might feel like, oh, it's not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And Abraham felt the same way. Abraham was getting older. Abraham was getting up in years. His wife was getting up in years. They were not able to produce what God has told them. But it doesn't matter about the natural law that's in the way. We might be looking at things with our natural eyes and say, man, this is happening. I'm getting older. Is it going to happen? Is this? And God said, if I said it, then it's going to happen. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter what we see. But if God said it's going to happen, and Abraham is the example of dreams and destinies that look like it was dead, promises. This was a promise that God gave to Abraham, and it seemed like it was dead. It seemed like that so much that when the angels came a year before to tell Abraham that next year this will happen, that Sarah began to laugh because of her disbelief. She laughed because she was like, how am I going to produce this dream when my womb cannot produce anymore? And my husband, he's this age. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because God is in spirit. God doesn't move in the flesh. God doesn't move in the natural like we move. So if God said it, is there something that's spiritual that's going to take place? It doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter what we come against in the natural. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Not because we said it. Not because we're going to force it to happen. Because God said it's going to happen. It will happen. So I already know that by us praying tonight and by your desires that God has placed in you, Father God, we know that this will happen. We have no doubt that it will happen, that this is not just a selfish dream, a selfish desire, but this is a desire that you put in his heart, Father God. And we know that you will make Wilfred dreams, Wilfred destiny, Wilfred promise come to pass. We know this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Pop. Amen. Yes. Well, it was good. Yeah, it was glad. Yeah. I'm glad
to hear from you.
Yeah, and I'm glad you was able to get your prayer request in. Yeah.
Yes, because I was waiting to get under the line. In what my memory is, you know, last night when I was in Larry's room, and that's when you had a mess hold on. And then I said, oh, gee, look at this thing that comes up again. So that made me part of it.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad. Yeah.
We're holding tight. God, because we see things are moving in this world, and even in orphans in Haiti.
Yeah.
So, what we know ourselves. Whatever it is, whatever we need, whatever we do, we have to be with God.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm involved in all kinds of stuff, but it doesn't bring any fruition for them. Money, one guy, which is part of the problem in Haiti, is a guy that we all know very well.
Yeah.
We opened the church with him, and his father at one time was a deacon in the church, a man that I spoke a lot with because he always gave me guidance, spiritual guidance. Now he's very old, he's in the office, but he's also 90 years old now. I don't know if you know what's going on. His son, you probably heard the name Christian Emmanuel Salon.
Yeah, I did hear the name. Yeah.
In Asian Problems.
Yeah.
He's a guy that we all know very, very well. We grew up with him in the church. And we know what happened to the guy. And this is what we hear about the guy. Involved in killing a president. And the guy is supposed to be a pastor, you know.
Yeah.
To make matters worse.
Yeah.
So, now if one doesn't hold, if one doesn't be careful, you know, you get yourself into some jam that you can never get out.
Yeah. And that's sort of what we're talking about. Yeah, and that's sort of what we'll talk about earlier today. You know, when we, you know, when we don't hear the voice of God after, you know, we might be doing one thing, one sin, and, you know, God is convicting us, but we're not listening. And a lot of times it gets us deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, just like how you mentioned it, yeah, he might have been, you know, somebody in the church, a pastor, but, you know, once we start stopping, you know, start ignoring, you know, the voice of God, we become numb to it. And, you know, we're doing things that, you know, just like now, like so many people are shocked that, man, this guy could be involved. But who knows, throughout the years, people doing little things, this thing here, this thing there, and not listening to the voice of God, trying to convict them. And look where it has led them to. So, you know, it goes back to
everybody. You say your uncles, your mother, they all know him. They all know his entire family. His entire family knows us too.
Yeah.
Your uncles know him very well too. Your mother also.
Yeah.
And I too.
Hmm.
But man, that's what you think of the
series.
Yeah. Let's see what's going for us, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Don't let anything in this room, you know, jump on the truck.
That's right. That's right. We gotta stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
Stay the course. Yeah.
So you know, no, he's right. You know, saying, you know, maybe it's crazy. I'm on power. I'm on money. I'm on fame. There's nothing wrong with those things, but you know, that's the reason I'm on them as a Christian.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but that's what it is.
He's involved in all kinds of many things. A lot of people in the church come here and pray for him, for the family.
Yeah.
But it's only in God's hands that what can be in a situation like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of the highest crimes that we can be involved in.
Yeah. Yeah, but
born in a Christian family, since we were a child,
you
went into the church as a baby, grew up in the church.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's you?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, his father's name is Christian father. And his behavior is the same name his father, Christian Emmanuel Salem.
Yeah.
You all know him very well.
But that's what it goes back to. It just, you know, who knows the person, personal life, and what was his relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, and every time he got convicted, was he
you know, to cut you off? You know, he simply has no relationship with God. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the guy's got a young kid. He's 62 years old.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is, Pop. Yeah.
So, you know, I understand the people in the church, in the prayers, all of you learn. The reason why I can show it in the program is because all of you learn out of the airport. Program because we were having a convention, and I've been participating in the convention from Friday night.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad, and it's a benefit for me that I can be hearing you, both of you, and then be the recipient of that program.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I'll call you tomorrow. Tomorrow, so we could talk some more on that, man. So you can expand on that a little more. So I'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll talk more about
it. All right. Yes, you know, okay. Because you know, in the morning, you stretch.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right, then, Pop. So you have a good one. You take care, all right?
And I will.
Yeah.
in Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 All right, then, Pop. Bye. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye.
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 All right. All right, that's cool. And so with my father calling in for prayer, so that was good. So it was a blessing. I don't see anybody else with their hands up. But you know, it was a great day, great night. Just to come tonight and pray with everybody, and we just thank you guys for calling in, being here with us, Rogers, and you know, it was just a great time to spend my Saturday.
Amen.
With you guys, with the people of God. And I always say, I was blessed doing the show tonight, being with you guys, praying for everybody. It was just a blessing. And so just leave you guys tonight. And we ask God to cover everyone that's hearing my voice, that's on the line, that was on the line. Father God, we ask you to cover them, to bless them, Lord Jesus. You know their prayers, Father God. I'm praying that doors are open, Father God, that doors are open for each and everybody prayer.
Amen.
That's here tonight, Father God, that you begin to open up, unlock the things that needs to be unlocked, Father God, whether it was things that was done in the past that's hindering them, that's holding them back. Just like James said earlier regarding the courts of heaven, Father God, we come to the courts, Lord Jesus. We ask you to judge these cases, Father God, and see if they're in the rightful way. See if they're justified in what they're asking, what they're praying to you about, Father God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to open up your ears. Be attentive to our prayers, Father God, as we come to you, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So until next time, I'm not sure if there'll be a show tomorrow, but Randy will probably announce it. But you know, like I said, it would be great. I don't know when we'll be on again, but I'm gonna try to make it real soon. Maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. But we just thank you guys for calling in.
Thank
you guys for being with
us.
It was a pleasure. All right. So you guys have a great night. If anybody else wants prayer tonight, all right. Nobody else, press one. All right. So we'll be out. We'll see you guys next time. Love you guys. All right. Thank you.